Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Scripture reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It can be found on page 1104 of your Pew Bible. But before we read God's word, let us pray. Holy God, in this moment, we pause and we gather around your word. To do so, we need to break from our responsibilities and our daydreams. We need to move away from our fears that overwhelm and our ambitions that are too strong. In this moment, free us from every distraction. Help us focus and listen. Help us hear and be changed. Amen. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice, all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone. They're rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It can be found on page 1104 of your Pew Bible. But before we read God's word, let us pray. Holy God, in this moment, we pause and we gather around your word. To do so, we need to break from our responsibilities and our daydreams. We need to move away from our fears that overwhelm and our ambitions that are too strong. In this moment, free us from every distraction. Help us focus and listen. Help us hear and be changed. Amen. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice, all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen.
Good morning. Hi, my name is Brady Simon. I'm an eighth grader at Indian Hills Middle School. Today, I'm going to talk to you about my experience in Minnesota with the youth group. In the morning of the first day, we got into two separate vans and started on our way. On the way, we danced to our favorite songs and laughed a lot. A couple hours in, I noticed half of my earbuds were trapped in the sliding door of the car. We stayed at a church who welcomed us with bright smiles and open arms. The first morning, we started out with helping the church. whether it was cleaning their technology closet or weeding their community garden. In the afternoon, I was in a group who went to a shelter for the homeless. This taught me a lot, in that not everyone has a house of their own to go to. It was also eye-opening to see how some people live in a neighborhood that isn't the best. For the next couple of days, we visited a church that was a little run down. Together, our group of 30 filled a huge dumpster over two afternoons that might have taken two people an entire month. We helped clean dishes, clean the bathrooms, and take junk from the basement out. They were so thankful to have us there, and it felt good to know we were making a difference. When you help others, you get to know yourself along the way. Something our leaders also tried to teach us was that this was a trip, was a huge opportunity to make lifelong friends. Every night, we would gather together and take a chance to talk about the day, including funny quotes we heard people say throughout the day. We also talked about scriptures from the Bible and how they relate to our lives. The coming together as a group helped me realize how fortunate I am to have Village Presbyterian Youth Group as a second family. The last work day, we designed paper bags together. We used the bags to put food in that we delivered to sick, elderly, or disabled people. This was one of my favorite parts of the entire trip because it was so extraordinary to see people's expressions when we brought their food. I remember one man in specific who opened the door and had one of the biggest smiles I've ever seen. He asked us how our day was, and it seemed like he just wanted to sit down and talk all day. Making other people smile is one of the main reasons I come back to youth group. It means a lot to me to see the pure joy on someone's face, and we experience that a lot at youth group. I could definitely tell God was with us on that trip, whether it was running through the rain to deliver those meals, sharing stories at the end of the day, or even just eating lunch at McDonald's on the way there. For it is God who brought us together, and I could never have asked for anything more. The whole experience was one I will truly never forget. It had a huge impact on my leadership skills, informing me as a person. We had been chosen by God to stand up and make a difference in the world. Before I leave, I would like to end with a verse from the Bible that I found. This verse is one that I want to now live by. It goes, "Do not pass by a man in need, for you may be the hand of God to him." Proverbs 3:27. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lauren Dornbush, and I am a junior at Shawnee Mission East this year. Over this past summer, I have been a part of a great summer program here at Village. A few weeks ago, my Village family and I also traveled to Minnesota, but instead we went to the Boundary Waters. This trip is only taken every other year, so it is considered a special occasion. For those of us who went on this trip as rookies, we can all attest that this trip was nothing but memorable. We went through everything from thunderstorms and red lightning to leeches and hammock time. Through it all, we grew as people, as friends, as wilderness survivalists, and as children of God. I want to share with you two things about that growth. First, how it formed me, and second, how it shaped what I see as leadership. Going to an unknown place can be intimidating at first. Good thing we have God as a guiding hand. This was so true for the Boundary Waters. We are used to being surrounded by nature, but I've heard it said that you have not experienced the nature until you've gone to the Boundary Waters. Well, I say that the trees, the water, and the harsh elements, they all make up a nature that is so unknown no one can ever expect it. A big lesson that we probably all learn from Boundary Waters is to be able to adapt with the conditions and to be able to adapt with what you have. God made us grateful for what we had. This is especially true on the second day of our trip. One constant of the trip was change. From beginning to end, we experienced a lot. But all that change turned out to be what made this trip so great. I think change is what made the memories that much sweeter. So anyway, the second day. We had just finished portaging. That's when you have to carry everything in your canoe and also your canoe from one lake to another. We started paddling in the next lake, and all we see ahead of us is this dark storm front heading straight towards us. Not only did it thunder and lightning and pour down rain, at that point we had already had 9 soaked packs and 2 tip canoes. The truth is that the hardest thing was not paddling. It was staying positive. Early that day, we had gotten lost in non-navigable waters somewhere in Canada that were considered dangerous in the month of July. Oh, don't worry, it gets better. Then, on the way upstream through rapids, one of our other students, Henry, who called himself our Beverly Hills leader, got a leech stuck on his foot that required a lot of attention and duct tape to get resolved. You think this is the end of our day. It's not even close. When we finally got to a campsite, we didn't bother with dinner. We were too exhausted, which resulted in a 24-hour period where we did not eat food. So you could see why staying positive through this day was our real challenge. Even though we had such a bad second day, all I can remember is the laughing and joking that followed. This is where the whole change theory comes into play. Not all of our days on the water were as bad as the one we had on Tuesday, but we had changed so much as people. We all learned that we could lean on each other to find help when we needed it. We all learned that we could change the culture of the trip just by relying on others and helping others. It was that simple. We were our own little family, and we had helped one another and picked up each other when necessary. Going on all these adventures with my group also taught me leadership. When you're portaging, leadership and cooperation is key if you want to get a 65-pound canoe to another lake. While everyone was equally a leader on this trip, 2 individuals stood out to me. Henry Cardsonas, our Beverly Hills leader, had been on this trip before, so he had helped us learn the ropes. He was never afraid to push everyone forward. His funny and cheerful spirit kept morale to a really good level. Our other leader, Brian Rettelsheimer, was our true survivalist. I remember Jenna begging Zach to put Brian in our group. Brian is a fire chief and a former scout, so you can see why he was a crucial player in getting us out of the boundary waters alive. True, he was the one who got us lost in Canada, but he was also the one who got us out of Canada. In Henry, leadership was about being fearless to go first and being joyful no matter what. In Brian, leadership was about wisdom and generosity. Because of all that we went through, each person in my group became a leader, and we learned that from Henry and Brian. God did us a real favor on this trip. He kept us safe, and he kept us happy. We prayed in times of hardship and in times of triumph. On the last day, we praised God for finally giving us sunlight and warmth when we needed to dry our wet clothes and our wet sleeping bags. We praised him when we finally saw the other group for the first time in 5 days. Coming back from the boundary waters, all of us returned with a new sense of purpose and leadership in our lives. One thing I love about Village trips is how you can integrate what you learn into your life, both at and away from the church. We can become better people in our community and better people for our friends and family. I truly miss the boundary waters with all my heart, not because of the hardship, but because it was so easy to connect, to know that you were being formed and shaped. I pray to God every day about how I would go back, just to do anything to go back, just for a day. This Boundary Waters trip was one for the books, and I will never forget it. Thank you.
Lou. So last week, if you guys were here, you heard a story Zach told about a kid who lost a flip-flop in Boundary Waters. That'd be me. My name is William. I'm going to be a senior up at Cheyenne Mission East. And I was asked to talk to you guys about Montreat. It's a youth trip we take every year. For those who don't know, let me tell you a little about it. It takes place just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, in the Appalachian Mountains. It's a big youth conference that brings together about 1,600 kids and youth leaders. You meet and talk. You get randomly assigned to a small group with no one else you know. It's kind of intimidating. Over the course of the week, you grow as one. You talk about each other's lives and everything going on outside of it. You really become best friends. To this day, I still talk to them. You truly left wanting to come back and learn more about everyone. you leave transformed. Montreat matters because it's a place where everyone can decompress and expand their faith in God by meeting new people and hearing stories from service every night. For those who were here a few weeks ago, Roger talked about Noah's Ark and being a magnetic church. And I want you to try and remember what he said. It was that opposites attract. Well, that describes Montreat pretty perfectly. It's a place full of completely diverse people meeting and getting to know each other. You can tell how special the place is by the expression on everyone's face. This being my first year going, I had no idea what to expect outside of hearing stories from other people who had gone in the past. And now I understand why people go back year after year. When you arrive, it's like being home for the first time. There's both something new but yet familiar about the place. When you arrive, everyone's just so happy and inviting to see you, you become so distracted by meeting people, you start to forget you're 14 hours away from home. You get the sense that you are meant to be there. This is very important because it causes a magnetic community that makes you not want, you don't get anywhere else. It makes you want to come back. And then last week in worship, Roger talked about leading as loving. Roger then told a story about how he went to youth conference and how he fell asleep during some of the services in the morning. Well, that must be a requirement for Christian youth conferences because there are some tired kids and adults in Montreat. Let me run you through the guy's routine. The guy's daily routine consists of waking up at 6 a.m., putting on clean clothes and possibly taking a shower. And then making our way up to the girl's house. And when I say making our way up, we went up a mountain. It was on the top of Mount Everest. Once we were about the third of the way up, I was sweating pretty profusely. And once we got to the house, we started making breakfast. And then all of a sudden, girls started coming out everywhere, upstairs, downstairs, asking the same question every day. Why are you so sweaty? After breakfast, we would head to Anderson, which is where everyone gathered for morning keynote. Then you split up into your small groups. You leave, get lunch, and then go back and meet your small group yet again. We would head back to the guy's house for a little downtime, maybe play a little Mario Kart. Zach's really good. And then we would head back to the girl's house for dinner. To end the night, we'd go and have service at Anderson with our guest pastor, Cece. She was amazing. As a group, we would walk back to the guy's house, have a group discussion about our day, and sing. Over the course of the week, it was the goal of one of our interns to get a picture of everyone sleeping during morning and evening worship. I distinctly remember tapping her on the shoulder, letting her know that Zach was asleep. It was a sure bet that someone was going to be asleep most mornings and evenings, except for one. No one fell asleep on the last night. Our guest pastor, Cece, gave a sermon about how we all are our own unique puzzle piece, and you might be a corner piece where you help outline the structure, like help give it the shape, how you're an edge piece where you're structurally sound to the puzzle, or you're a middle piece where you help paint the picture. She talked about how you are a unique puzzle piece and that God has a plan for you. And for the longest time, I thought baseball was my calling, that I was going to play college and professional baseball for my life. I totally thought I knew what picture I was a part of. And then come junior year of high school, I realized that I was not meant to do that for my whole life. I saw that it was not going to work and that I needed to take a step back and look at all my options. Maybe you've experienced this in your lifetime as well, where you didn't get that job you wanted or the promotion you were gunning for, or your child had an unexpected injury, meaning they couldn't play that sport anymore. My parents have had this happen to them. It was right before football season was about to start. I was excited and could not wait. It would be my second year of tackle football going into sixth grade. In late July, I had a back injury, leaving me temporarily paralyzed from the waist down. For about 8 hours, I found out that I had ruptured the sheath protecting my spinal cord. This meant that I could not play any contact sports for the rest of my life, and I could not do most water activities. This was hard on my family, but we made it work. And it's like I said earlier, God has a plan for you. Whether you see it or not, God has a plan. My experience at Montreat is a memory I will never forget, and I plan on going next year in hopes of making more new friends and new memories. Thank you to Village Church and this congregation for sending our youth group on this amazing experience. It's been an honor speaking with you this morning.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.